Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 243, Mountain Moving Faith, Part 2. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, February 13th, 2022, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome here in-house, and welcome those of you who are online, live stream. Praise the Lord. We bless you this morning. I thank you for coming this morning, and we pray that this will be a fruitful time for you, a time of blessing. So this morning there's been a lot of emphasis on prayer, and just for those who might not be familiar with praying in the Spirit or praying in your prayer language, you can find it in the Bible. It's in Acts chapter 2. It talks about the day of Pentecost when the power of the Holy Spirit came on people and they began to pray in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Also, you can find it in, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, amongst the gifts of the Spirit, to be able to pray in the Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 14 describes how that happens and so forth and so on. So I'm not going to do a teaching on it this morning. But in case somebody is wondering, it's okay to pray that way to God. He understands. He hears. He can hear when everybody's praying together. Just think about it this way. You know, there are millions and millions and millions of Christians across the face of the earth that pray to God all at the same time, and he hears all their prayers. Isn't that amazing? Well, I guess maybe it's not amazing. It's a good thing, though, right? You don't have to wonder if he hears your prayers or not. He hears them, amen, and he answers your prayers, and he's faithful. And so as you pray and as you lift your voice to God, whether it's in English or some other language or some unknown language, he hears you and he sends answers abundantly. Praise God. So we're grateful for that provision that he's made for us to be able to seek after him and to talk to him, to converse with him. And so we just hope that you grow in your prayer language, that you grow in your prayer, habit, I guess you should say. You know, we should be in a habit of praying. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And I guess you're probably aware in our world that we live in today, we need prayer more than ever before. So I want to just take this also this moment to ask for special prayer for our friends in the Ukraine that are facing a possible invasion of Russia this week. We pray that that would be averted and that Russia would not use the weakness of our government as a pretense to invade that land. We have many Christian friends in Ukraine. Pastor Karen and I have ministered there at Kharkiv Christian Center in Kharkiv, which is only 30 kilometers, about 60 miles from the eastern border where the Russian troops are amassing. So Pastor Peter Kavlinko and his congregation, I preached one time, 4 services out of 5 in their weekend time, thousands of people. Amazing church, amazing believers in Jesus. So we're just praying that God would protect them, that God would keep his hand over those people, keep his hand over that nation, and that he would avert the war and the bloodshed that could happen in just a few days, they say. But God is a great God, amen? So we want to intercede for them and pray for them. Also, just some mention was in our announcements. Our sister, Cheryl Ann Jackson, went to be with the Lord on the 3rd. And so we're having a homegoing celebration for her on Monday, tomorrow, actually. And that will be at the Calvary United Methodist Church on Winchester Road here in Fort Wayne. They have a little bigger space there that we can meet and minister to the family and to those friends who will be coming from around the city to celebrate her homegoing. Sister Cheryl was an amazing woman of God, amazing prayer warrior. We will miss her greatly, but we'll get to see her when the last trumpet sounds. Amen. Bible says, when the last trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are still remaining will be caught up in the air to be with him forever. So it'll be a good thing, and it'll be a time for us to reunite with those who have gone before us in the Lord. Also, from our sister church Naomi Schreibman, our sister church in Israel. She ran her last marathon as well. Another amazing, faithful servant of God from Beit Hillel congregation in Ashdod, Israel. So we're praying for those two families, that God will comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them during this time. Amen and amen. So let's pray. So Father, thank you for this time to get together. We thank you, Lord, that you have already heard our prayers even before we call out to you. So Lord, on behalf of the nation of Ukraine and our friends there, we ask you and we beseech you that you would avert the bloodshed and things that are predicted there, Father, in Jesus' name, that you keep your hand of protection over the land and over the believers in it. And we ask you, Lord, to intervene in a mighty way. In Jesus' name. And for these families, Lord, that have lost their loved ones, we pray and we lift them up. We thank you, Father God, for encouraging them, Lord, and for, Lord, giving them great and good memories, Lord, of these loved ones who have gone to be with you. We ask you to comfort them with your grace, Father, and comfort them with your word to know that we get to see them again. It's just, you said, at the sound of the trumpet, in a blinking of the eye, we'll all go to be with you. So, Lord, we're thankful and grateful for that hope that you have given us. And, Father, we cherish the memories of these people, and we're looking forward, Lord, to seeing them again in glory with you. So we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Bless those that are listening today, those that are watching online, as well as those in-house today. We ask you, Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear, our ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for all the good things that you're doing in our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So this morning I want to continue a message on mountain moving faith. And in just a minute, she's going to put up a video, which is sort of the introduction to this message today. Is Pastor Israel Pachter from our sister church in Israel, Ashdod, Israel, Beit Hillel. And he's speaking from the Judean desert. So I love Pastor Israel. He's really a powerful man of God. And he's talking about the word and about speaking the word. So let's view that video now, and then I'll launch into my message.
Shalom from Negev. We are in the south of Israel, in the Nahal or River Habarim, in the desert of Tzin and Valley of Tzin. Desert is a very beautiful place in Israel, and many places are very dry and some have vegetation because of the rivers. Now we're walking on the riverbed, and I'm here with my son Guy, and we're going to explore and study the Bible. I'm sure we're going to see adventures, because when you go to the desert, there is always challenges and adventures, but also revelations are just flowing down in the desert. I love to pray in the desert, and I'm happy that we're going to be together today in this journey. Let's go and explore. Valley of Tzin, middle of desert. And there are so many stories in the Bible that happened in the desert. And today we study Psalm 3. It's a powerful psalm, but also it's a psalm that sharing with us a difficult story. Story of King David when he ran from Absalom. In Hebrew we say Avshalom, father of Shalom, father of peace. That was the name of his son who rose against him, and David in trouble. Can you imagine? He was a king for a while, for so many years. He was enjoying life, and life was good for him. And suddenly things changed around. And instead of rejoicing, prosperity, and blessings of the Lord, his own son rose against him and attacked him in the way that David needed to run to the desert, run away. Let's read Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. May are they who raise up against me. So he's actually praying to the Lord, saying, Lord, they rose against me. Not only Absalom and all his people, but many others joined the riots and came against David. And what David do? He prayed. He prayed to the Lord. And he ran away. He knew there there is no hope for him if he stays. He ran away, but also he continued to pray. And let's read prayer of David, because same stories can happen with us. Even in the midst of victory and all the great story, we have seen the victory of God and his blessings and help, and things can change around. Economics changes. People rise against us. The sickness can attack you. There's all kinds of circumstances that come in against us, but the most important part for every believer, we have promises of God, and God never fails. And look, read verse 2. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Now, you can see people speak even spiritual language. They speak about salvation. They say in Hebrew, it says, Yeshua. You know, and Yeshua is Jesus, and Yeshua is salvation. They say here, they say to me, there is no help for him in God. In Hebrew, there is no salvation for him in God. Literally the same. God cannot help King David. It's it. It's the end. And can you imagine when you hear such words, there is no hope for you even in God, even in Jesus, there is no salvation? It's terrible. But there is something special in the life of David, and that's what God and Holy Spirit teaches us, to learn these powerful lessons, what to do in such situations. Verse 3 says here, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me. In Hebrew it says, Magini. So he is confessing the word of God. He is speaking to God. He is proclaiming to the Lord. He is confessing the word of God. In that moment, you don't see God speaking to him and giving him fresh promises. No. But he's standing on the very solid ground on the word of God and proclaiming victory. He says here, Lord, you are my shield. You shield for me. Magini. Again, surely you're my shield. Then it says, my glory, and the one who lift up my head. And that's a powerful proclamation, saying, Lord, you are my glory. You are my shield. You raise my hand. And say that before it's heaven. And that's a spiritual warfare. When you stand on the word of God and you confess him and proclaiming the word of God, even though circumstances, they're against you, and maybe they even shouting loud, screaming loud to your ears. It's it. There is no salvation for you, no hope for you, no help even in God. But David proclaiming the truth of the word of God. You are my shield. You are my salvation. You are my glory. Praise the Lord. You are my glory, and you will lift me up.
Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. Even in the middle of trials and troubles and things coming against you, God is your deliverer, but you need to take the word of God and begin to be proactive and begin to speak and begin to believe and begin to trust, and he will take you from that place of desperation to victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're speaking to you today about mountain moving faith. This is actually part two, so if you missed part one, you can catch it on our Facebook page or on YouTube channel, and you can catch up with us by reviewing that there. So this is really part two. Today I want to speak from a story about a woman who was a woman of faith and who got a tremendous miracle from God. It's one of my favorite stories really in the Bible, from Mark chapter 5. But before we get there, I just want to introduce it this way. Is that Jesus often talked about faith. And maybe before I even say that, I want to just encourage you, those of you who maybe have never been to one of our cell groups, we have a men's cell group that meets here during the week, and we have several women's cell groups that you can come to. But we're studying faith that can move mountains. And this is really an important subject, because you cannot get enough faith. I mean, and you never run out learning. You never run out of things to learn about faith. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And when you use your faith, things change in your life in amazing, amazing ways. So of course, the greatest change is when you come to Jesus and you accept Jesus to be your Lord, and not just your Savior, but your Lord. You put him in charge. You put him in the driver's seat of your life. That's the most important use of faith that you could ever do in your life, because that is a life changer for you. That is the beginning of much change ahead of you. But then as you continue to grow in your faith does amazing things, because it's the hand that actually receives from God the blessings that he's promised you. It's, you know, faith is the, hope is a great thing, because, you know, you can hope for things, but hope doesn't really change anything except your attitude. And then when your attitude is right and you see the things that you hope for, faith is the hand that reaches out and takes the blessing of God that he's promised you. Faith is an amazing, amazing force. And throughout the Bible, Jesus commended faith. He taught faith. He taught his disciples to have faith. And so that's the reason that we talk about faith and we teach people on faith even now. It maybe is a mystery to some people, but it doesn't have to be a mystery. And this morning, I hope to make it as simple, as easy as possible for you to understand, get a hold of, and get working in your life. So Jesus, when he was teaching his followers in Mark 11:23, a really famous scripture on faith, is that he said, "Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it will be done for him." Or some translations say, "It shall be to him whatever he may say," or "it shall be as he says." So really some important principles in there. He says, if you will speak to the mountain, be thrown into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, not doubt inside. He's not talking about your head now. He's talking about your heart, what you believe in your heart. It says that he will have what he says, you know, if he speaks to that mountain. So here's what people do a lot. A lot of times people come to God and they speak to God about their mountains. Probably you've done that. I've done that. Mostly we come to God and we complain about the mountains, right? You got a problem in life, you go to God and you complain about it. And he's really impressed, you know, when we do that, you know. It's like, you know, we're the first person on the face of the earth that ever had a problem and complained to him, you know. Like, how would you just think about this for a second. How would you like to be God and hear all the complaints about, you know, about everything, you know, that people complain, moan, groan, whatever. Moaning and groaning believers. But, you know, God is patient, God is faithful, God is kind, God has a lot of grace, amen? So, even though we wouldn't put up with it, he puts up with it. But he would rather have us speak to the mountain about our God instead of us speaking to a God about our mountains, amen? Because when you speak to the mountain about your God, it begins to affect change, because your faith kicks in and begins to, the force of faith kicks in and begins to move that mountain out of the way. Praise the Lord. So now I know there's a lot of people that say, well, that maybe work for you, Pastor, but it doesn't work for me. You know, I tried that once and whatever. See, this isn't about trying it. This is about doing it. You know, God honors doing. He doesn't honor just trying. So if you're just trying stuff, you know, it's kind of like, you know, if you throw and see if something sticks, you know, somewhere. You know, it's not about that. It's about being committed. I'm gonna live this way. I'm gonna live a life of faith. And you have to have the attitude is that even if I never saw anything change, even if I never saw any of it work, I'm still gonna do it anyway. Because it says it in the Word of God, it must be true. And I'm going to stand on the fact that it's true, and I'm not going to back off of it. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So when you have that kind of attitude, then something begins to happen on the inside of you. The first thing that happens is fear leaves. And you know, when fear leaves you, when you're no longer afraid of stuff, you know, happening. You're no longer afraid of sickness. You're no longer afraid of lack. You're no longer afraid of somebody speaking some nasty things about you. You're no longer afraid of, you know, what people can say or do. Something's happened on the inside of you because the Holy Spirit begins to rise up on the inside of you and you become a giant. You become the giant and the devil becomes the pipsqueak because he's defeated. Jesus defeated him at the cross. The Bible says that when Jesus went to the cross, that he spoiled the principalities and powers. Now, we don't use that term so much in English anymore, spoiled, except for kids, you know, sometimes they're spoiled. But when it says that Jesus spoiled the principality and powers, that means he did great damage to them. He wrecked them. He wrecked the principalities and powers, and the Bible says he made a public spectacle of them. So we don't probably use the word spectacle so much anymore, but he makes a real scene of it, basically, is what it's saying. When he went to the cross and he defeated the devil and he wrecked the principalities and powers, he made a scene out of it. In other words, everybody should look to see the defeat of these crazy demons that have been trying to trip up your life and mess you up right and left, up and down, forward and backward. Jesus defeated them at the cross. Thank God he defeated them at the cross. And when he defeated them at the cross, it's good news for you. It's good news for me because we don't have to defeat them. He already defeated them. Amen. But we do have to stand for that victory, and we do have to contend for the faith that keeps that victory alive in our lives. Amen? So when we're facing problems and troubles and adversities, like Pastor Israel was talking about David faced when his own son turned against him, and now he had to run for his life into the desert, into the Negev desert. When adversity strikes, you have to know that God is your son and a shield, that he's protecting you, and that he was going to bring you out of that desert place, and he's going to put you back in the rightful place of victory and authority, and that you have a place with God and you have the victory. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's just the introduction. If I preach on the introduction too long, I'll never get to the message. So, what I want to say to you about that introduction, though, is that what you say is really important. It's really vital how you speak, what you speak about, what you say. Because if you're just complaining and moaning and groaning and, you know, doing the B word, it's not going to accomplish what you need to accomplish in your life. But when you're speaking powerfully from a base of faith, from a base of the Word of God, what you believe in your heart and begin to let that come out of your mouth, the power of God rises up within you and is released through your words of faith, and it begins to just terribly wreck the kingdom of the devil and all of the stuff that he's got assigned against you. You know, we have authority, the Bible says, over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. But you can know that in your head, but you can be living not experiencing that at all. I mean, the serpents can be eating you alive. But when you understand your authority and you begin to put your foot down and say, enough is enough, I am not taking this anymore. I'm speaking to you in the name of Jesus. You back down now. And I don't mean maybe. You get out of my life. Things begin to change. At your house, in your life, in your home, where you work. Because the devil's a liar, he is defeated, and Jesus is Lord. And I'm not going to choke up over that either. Glory to God. So, when people face adversity, oftentimes people say all kinds of stuff. Mostly not the right things, but we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be amongst those who, out of the Word of God, begin to speak about the victory that Jesus has won for us at the cross of Calvary. Okay, so I'm going to take you to a story in Mark chapter 5. You can turn there, if you wish, or you can read it on the screen. I'll probably be putting some of these on the screen. But actually, maybe just don't turn there, because I'm going to read to you out of the Amplified this morning, and you probably don't have that version, or Maybe you can get it on Bible Gateway or something. But I'm using this version just because I like the way it states some of these things in this story. The story is about a woman who had a lot of problems in her life. She was slowly dying. She was bleeding to death. And she heard about Jesus. So I'm going to start, though, in verse 21, because the story really, there's really kind of two stories here. A story of a man who came on behalf of his daughter, and then the story of the woman who interrupted the process. So we're not going to talk about the man so much, but just so that you understand the context, we're going to start with verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. It says, when Jesus had recrossed in the boat to the other side, a great throng gathered about him, and he was at the lake shore. Verse 22, then one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet, and he begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be healed and live. And Jesus went with him. And a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides so as to suffocate him. So get the picture here. This guy comes and asks Jesus on behalf of his daughter to come and do a miracle, raise her out of this sickness. And Jesus says, I'll come and do it. I'll come with you. I will. Okay, so I want to stop there for just a second. A lot of people believe that God is able to do great things in their lives. They believe, you know, God is a big God. He's a great God. He can do anything. But many times people don't believe that he maybe will do it for them. And that's wrong. Because that's not the character of God. The character of God is, he doesn't care who you are, where you came from, how you grew up, what your background is, whether you've been steeped in sin, lived for the devil, or whether you've served God all your life since you were a baby. He is no respecter of persons, and what he did for the people in the Bible, he will do for you. He will stop everything to do what you ask him to do, if you would just trust him. Now, a lot of religious people don't believe that. They believe God is a sovereign God. He can do whatever he wants to do. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says maybe, sometimes he says wait, sometimes he says all kinds of stuff. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that when you come and you seek God, he hears your voice, he hears your prayer, and he sends answers. That means he's willing. And when you look at this story and you see that Jesus dropped everything, I don't know where he was going that day, but when this man came and begged him, said, Jesus, please, my daughter is dying. He said, okay, let's go. Let's go find your daughter. I'll bring healing to her. That's the nature of God. That's the nature of the God we serve. That's the nature of Jesus. That's the nature of the Holy Spirit whom he sent to live in you, to be a helper, to be someone who says, yes, I see your need. I'll help you. Yes, I'll believe in you. Yes, I'll lift you up. Yes, I'll encourage you. Yes, I'll strengthen you. Yes, I'll come alongside of you. That's God. That's the picture of the Father. That's the picture of the God we serve. Not those other kinds of religious things. You can say, you know, things God is mad at them. You know, he's just waiting for you to step out of line. He's going to smash you and squash you and kick you out and make you miserable because now you can't enjoy your sin anymore. Well, you probably shouldn't enjoy your sin anymore, but God is not a vindictive kind of character. He's a God who loves you. He loved you so much. He sent Jesus to the cross to pay the fine that you deserved. We sinned. We broke the law. We deserved hell and death and all kinds of catastrophe. But Jesus stepped in and he paid the fine. He crawled on that cross as a sacrifice for our sin and said, I'll take your place. I'll take death, you get life. I'll take the beating, you get freedom. That's Jesus. And when you get that image of Jesus down on the inside of you, you'll be a different person. Because you'll know that God is not against you, He's for you. And He's pulling for you. You might not have everything right, you might not have everything turned around in your life yet, but Jesus is not against you. He's still for you. Because He paid the price for you. The Bible says that He lives forever in heaven interceding for us. That means standing between us and God and intervening at like an attorney that's arguing your case for you. That's Jesus. That's the real Jesus. That's the real living Jesus. That's not the mythical Jesus that doesn't care about you. That doesn't care about what's happening to you. That doesn't seem to be present in your life. That's not the Jesus. The real Jesus is in your life. Yeah, sometimes He has to get in your face too, but that's okay. It's because He loves you. And He cares about you enough to convict you of stuff and so that you change and go a different direction. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's get back to the story here. So Jesus went with him, a great crowd, kept following him from all sides so as almost to suffocate him. Verse 25, and there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had suffered much, who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. So sometimes when I've spoken to people about this story, they said, yeah, that's like me. Seems like nothing works for me. You know, I went and took care of it this way and it didn't get better. It just got worse. And then I tried this other thing and it didn't get better, but it only got worse. And then I tried something else and it didn't get better. It only got worse. Maybe some of you who are here today or some of you who are watching or some listening on the podcast, maybe that's your case. Well, there's hope for you today because I want to introduce you to a Jesus who can change all that for you. So verse 27 says, she had heard reports concerning Jesus. And she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. So, see the picture. It's this crowd of people. They're suffocating Jesus, as the word says. You know, that's a crowd. You know, maybe you've seen in the news, you know, in the last few days, some of the protest demonstrations where there's a lot of people. You know, they're pressing, they're shoulder to shoulder, they're big crowds. This week in Canada and this week in France and some of the other places, if you watch the world news, big crowd of people pressing. It helps you to get a picture of what Jesus might have been experiencing here. I mean, people everywhere thronging, trying to get close to him, trying to touch him, trying to get to him. But there's something interesting about this woman. It says that she heard the reports about Jesus. She heard reports about Jesus. She heard somebody told her about Jesus. Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus? Because faith comes from hearing the gospel, hearing the story. So she, the one who had endured much at the hands of many physicians, who was growing worse by the day, who wasn't getting any better, heard about Jesus. So what did she hear about Jesus? Well, she must have heard something about touching his clothes because that's what she did, right? So somebody must have reported to her that these people that touched Jesus' clothing, they get healed. That's the only conclusion that we can make because that's what she was doing here. Verse 28, and then it says, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I will be restored to health. She was saying something. She was believing something and she was saying something. Now I'm going somewhere with this, so hang on. Verse 29 says, and immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Isn't that amazing? This is like instantaneous healing. This is like the miracle of God. Just from pressing through that throng of people, reaching out and touching Jesus' clothes, this woman's whole life changed. So now instead of slowly bleeding to death, she was healed. And she felt that she was healed. I mean, it wasn't, this is a good confession of faith. I think something happened to me. Maybe something happened to me. You know, something's supposed to happen to me when I get prayed for, you know, but who knows? Maybe it did this time. Maybe it didn't this time. No. She felt inside. She felt something change inside of her and the bleeding stopped. The evidence of the sickness went. And the healing began to rise up within her. Now, I suppose that, you know, I don't know if she felt stronger, possibly so. But if you've ever been in a condition where you've bled a lot, you know what happens to you. You lose your strength, right? Because you lose your energy. Because slowly the life is flowing out of you. Then it says in verse 30, and Jesus, recognizing in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now remember, everybody is touching him. Everybody is pushing him. Everybody's trying to get close to him. It's a throng of people. He's surrounded by people. And the disciples kept saying to him, you see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Are you a crazy person, Jesus? Everybody is touching you. What do you mean, who touched you? Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. Verse 33, but the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. So this woman was trembling because a woman of her condition was, number one, not supposed to be in a crowd. That condition would have had her declared to be an unclean person, should not be in a crowd. She should be masked up, staying in her basement, not coming out, hibernating, quarantining, because she is unclean. She is ceremonial unclean. Secondly, of all people to touch, she should not be touching the rabbi, because that would make the rabbi unclean. She should not be touching any clothing of the rabbi, because that would make him unclean. So no wonder she was fearing and trembling. Because who knows what they did to unclean persons who broke the law. Verse 34, and he said to her, now listen to the words of Jesus, daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace, shalom. The Hebrew word shalom, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. That's Jesus. That's the attitude of Jesus. That's the attitude of the Father. So when you're having troubles and problems and circumstances and situations and you're facing the impossible, There's a Jesus who loves you. There's a Jesus who cares about you. There's a Jesus who's willing to fight on your behalf and take you from that place of darkness to a place of light and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the Jesus that we serve. And it's your faith that really unlocks that process in your life. So that's why we teach people about faith. That's why we talk about faith. That's why we have cell group meetings about faith. And that's why we keep coming back to the subject, because everything that you learn about faith, there's always more that you can learn about faith. And the more it works for you, and the more you walk by faith, the more you grow in faith, the more you realize how little you have and how little you know, and how much more there is to get and receive. Because God loves you. And He designed this principle of faith so that you could live in victory in your life and not be under it all the time, and not let the devil walk over you and destroy your life and kill and steal and do all the other stuff that he does, all the crazy things that he does in lives of people. That's why we teach on faith and minister on faith. So let's just take a look at a couple of the principles. I want to try to make this as simple as possible so that it's something that you can use in your life, something that you can put into practice in things where you are believing God or trusting God or asking God for, so you can actually see this work in your own life this week. I mean, not next year, not someday. Today. How about today? Is today too soon?
Today. Right now.
Let me just do a little side trip here. You know, when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, God sent Moses to deliver them and to get Pharaoh to change his heart and change his life, to get the ruler of Egypt to change his heart and let them go. Moses did many miracles that God told him to do so that the Egyptians could see that their gods were nothing, that Moses' God was the great God, and that they should relent and just let the people go. So one of the things that happened was that God said to Moses, you know, just do this and they're going to be frogs come into the land. There's going to be so many frogs that there'll be frogs in the Pharaoh's bed. They'll be in his cooking pots. They'll be in his baking ovens. They'll be in his clothes. They'll be in his closet. Frogs will be everywhere. And frogs were everywhere. When Moses did this miracle, man, there were frogs. There was an abundance of frogs. I mean, they were in everything. The only place that there weren't any frogs was where the Hebrew slaves were. They escaped the frogs because the plague only came on the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh calls for Moses and says, take these frogs away. Get rid of these frogs for me. Pray to your God and get rid of these frogs. And Moses says, okay, when do you want them to go? And Pharaoh said, tomorrow. What is wrong with you? What are you thinking about? But you know what? We laugh at Pharaoh, but a lot of times we're content to sleep with the frogs one more night. You can have faith today that works for today, or you can have faith that works for tomorrow. So you choose. Do you want this to work for you today? Do you want it to work for you tomorrow or next week or next year or someday? You know, people sometimes say, someday I'll get my miracle. Someday. One day. How about today?
Amen.
So I know, now you're thinking, I wonder what he's going to tell me, because I could really use this now. I really need this now. I don't need it someday. I need it now. Amen. So what's he going to say? Okay, so I'm going to try and keep it really, really simple. I want to walk you through the process of this woman, what she did, because from it we can learn some principles that we can use. The first thing was that she had a shift in her faith. A shift. Not a ship, a shift. Shift in faith. her shift was this. She went, her faith went from doctors and remedies to faith in Jesus. Okay, so maybe you got a medical condition, and this is no criticism of doctors, nurses, hospitals, or people who work there. Carissa works there. We love her. And she's helping people. She's blessing people. And maybe some of you are nurses or have a medical background or are in healthcare. Bless you. May God bless you and use you in mighty ways for His kingdom in those places. So this is nothing. This is not against doctors or healthcare practitioners of any kind. But your faith cannot be in people. Your faith cannot be in the doctor, in the medicine, in the hospital, or any of those kind of things. Your faith has to be in God, because He's the one who sent Jesus to the cross to be your healer. So this woman made a shift. She had spent everything that she had. She had sought many doctors, many physicians. Maybe some of you have been there. I know some of you have a personal testimony of this. You went to do everything and to get everything, and it didn't work. And she got worse, not better. But when she shifted her faith to Jesus, everything changed. It was a game changer. So the first thing that we need to learn is, as believers, if we want to change in our life, whether it's about health or whether it's about finance or whether it's about family issues or whether it's about our marriage, whether it's about our kids, whether it's about addictions or whether it's about whatever, we have to make a shift of where we're going to put our faith. Are we going to trust in some remedy? Are we going to trust in some person? Or are we going to put our trust in God? Now, He may use medicine, He may use a remedy, He may use a person to help you and to bless you and to help you walk out of that. But your faith has to shift from people and things and remedies to Jesus, just like this woman. Her faith also made a shift from costly health care to faith in Jesus. She had spent everything that she had. So her money wasn't, even if she had more money, it wasn't doing any good, because she could spend another fortune on medicines that weren't helping her. She had to shift her faith to Jesus. And the third thing is, she's done. She's done with all of that. She had to come to a place where she just said, you know what? That just isn't going anywhere. She spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. She's done. She came to the end of it. So that her faith in Jesus was the most important thing. So how did she get faith in Jesus? Well, she heard some reports about Him. So just think about it. This woman wasn't educated in the Bible, probably. Just somebody had told her some good news about Jesus, that's all. And she believed it. She had tried everything else that didn't work. She only got worse. And now she heard about the Jesus who is the healer. The Jesus who sometimes people even touched His clothes and they got healed. So she thought, I probably never get to talk to Jesus, but just maybe I can touch His clothes. If I could just push through this crowd, maybe I could touch His garment. Because she had heard that people who touched His garment got healed. Now you can think that's crazy. If you want, you can think that's pretty lame for somebody to believe something like that. You can believe it's superstitious. You can believe whatever you want to believe about it. Whatever you believe about it, this woman got it. She got her healing. It worked for her. So it's not just some myth that, you know, some crazy woman, she just believed if she touched His clothes. It was a story of faith and the power of faith. So the first thing is, If you've got a problem, you've got a situation, you've got a circumstance you want to change, look at where your faith is. Look at what you're trusting. Just maybe you need to make a shift of faith and just put your faith in Jesus. And then listen to hear his voice, what he tells you to do, and he'll help you through. Number two, it says she had heard reports concerning Jesus. The reports is the good news. We call it the gospel. You know, sometimes people, you know, Christians talk Christianese. Have you ever figured that out? So you talk to somebody who has never heard about Jesus. You know, I've been to many countries. I've been to 65 plus countries. And we talk to people about Jesus. Sometimes people have never heard the name of Jesus. They don't even have a clue who Jesus is. Here in America, you know, you pretty much know Jesus is, you know, Jesus Christ and goddamn this and whatever, you know, we use it as a curse word and whatever. We take his name in vain. So the name of Jesus is at least known, but some places in the world, they don't, Jesus what? Who is Jesus? You go to Mexico or you go to Argentina, you go to Bolivia or some of the other places, Jesus might be the guy that lives down the street. I know Jesus. Yeah, he's my friend. He's my cousin is Jesus. But they don't know this Jesus. But this woman heard about Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Somebody told her. So important to share your faith with people. To tell the good news to somebody. Because you can be the reason that somebody gets healed. You can be the reason that somebody comes to Jesus, gets their life turned around. You can be the reason. You say, well, I don't know that much about it yet. It doesn't matter. You know something. If he set you free, you know that. If he touched your mind and touched your heart, you know that. If he changed something in your life, you know that too. And at least you can tell that. I know this Jesus. He will do this for you. He did it for me. Amen? That's probably as simple as what this woman heard. It wasn't rocket science. She wasn't a theologian. Probably the person who told her wasn't a theologian. Probably just a friend. You ought to go see Jesus. You know, people touch his clothes and they get healed. You got big problems, lady. You should do this. You should go find him. And she did. She acted on that. She went from despair to hope because somebody gave her some words of hope. If you just get to Jesus, you'll be healed. Hope rose up inside of her. I remember before I said faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? So then she experienced some other thing. She experienced what the Bible says about how faith comes. So you might feel like, I need faith, but I don't have it. But the good news is that faith comes. And I can tell you how faith comes. I can absolutely tell you how faith comes. It doesn't come by praying for it, because sometimes people come to me and I prayed for faith and I just didn't get it. And no wonder you don't get it by praying for it. It doesn't come that way. Faith comes by hearing the good news. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So when we talk to people and say, you know, you need to hear the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. You need to listen to the Word of God. What are we telling you? We're telling you that when you do that, something will happen in the inside of you. The force of faith will begin to grow. But it doesn't come by having heard it once. It comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The more you hear God's word, the more faith will rise up inside of you. Faith will keep coming and faith will keep growing. When you hear the word of God. That's why we encourage people to come to church. You know, it isn't about, we're such great people. And we know all the truth here in Fort Wayne and nobody else has it. You know, no other church has it. You know, we just got it over here in this corner, in this little place here. And, you know, if you don't come here, there's no help for you, you know. Because this isn't about us. But we encourage people to come to church because it's a place where they can hear the Word of God. At least at this church, they can hear the Word of God. There might be some that they don't teach the Word of God, but that's not my problem. And it's not my responsibility. And I am not the religious police. We'll let that to the Muslims and to the others who want religious police. I don't have to correct everybody, and I don't have to be right with everything for everybody. I don't have to write whatever they're teaching that's not right. Amen? And I don't have to criticize their ministry either. I just say, bless them. That's what they think. That's what they believe. I can't help it. I'm going to stick with the Word. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. It'll change your life. So number one, shift, have the faith, make a shift in faith. Number two, hear the Word of God. Hear the Word, hear the Gospel, and keep hearing it. Number three, this is a big key. She kept saying, if I will only touch his garments, I will be restored to health. Okay, so a lot of you have iPads, phones, and whatever. What happens when you touch the screen? It comes to life, right? She kept saying, if I just touch his garments, I'll be restored to health. She kept saying it. That's why I like this particular version, the Amplified Amp Classic. Because it does. Some versions say she thought. Some versions say she said. But this version said she kept saying. She kept saying. She kept saying, if I but touch his clothes, I'll be made well. She kept saying, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. She kept saying. So what was she doing? She was speaking what she believed, right? So she heard the report, she believed the report, she started talking about the report. So when you hear the Word of God concerning your case, whether it's about your finances, about your family, or about your health, or about your marriage, or about any other thing, if you'll believe what the Word of God says about that condition or situation or circumstance, and begin to speak what the Word of God says about it, faith will begin to take a hold of that thing and pull it into your life. It's a principle. And many, if I asked for testimonies of people here about how that worked for them, you'd get a lot of really good testimonies because it works. So I'm trying to keep it simple. Shift your faith to Jesus. Trust Him. Trust him. How should you trust him? If you were jumping out of an airplane, you'd better want to have a parachute, right? And if you had a parachute, when you jump out, the parachute isn't open until you jump out, right? You have to put some trust that whoever packed that parachute did it right. And when you pull the cord, the parachute's going to open, and you're going to go floating to the ground instead of plunging to the ground. Amen? So when I'm saying trust Jesus, put your faith in Jesus, I'm saying trust him like you would trust a parachute when you're jumping out of the airplane. In other words, if this chute doesn't open, I'm a spot on the ground. And if Jesus doesn't answer, I'm toast. Trust him. Shift your faith in. Number two, listen and hear the gospel. Get it down inside of you. Keep hearing the gospel. Just keep hearing it. You say, well, it didn't work for me yesterday. Don't worry about it not working for you yesterday. Today's a new day. Keep hearing it. Keep hearing it. Keep hearing it. Let it get inside of you. Let it get a hold of you. Let it change your life. Let the hope start rising inside of you. Now, here's my experience. When you talk about Jesus the healer shows up. So when you listen to scriptures about Jesus the healer, Jesus the healer shows up. I've seen some really awesome miracles. You know, I'm not the miracle worker. Jesus is the miracle worker. I've seen some awesome things. I've seen a blind man get healed. I've seen people come out of wheelchairs that couldn't walk. I've seen people that are deaf begin to hear. I've seen some miracles in tent meetings many years ago. Our kids, we used to take them to the Navajo Indian Reservation and do tent meetings with an evangelist that went out there. We saw some really, really awesome miracles sitting on the front row in that tent of people getting healed. But Jesus is the healer, not the evangelist, not the pastor, not the prayer team. Jesus is the healer. And when you hear the reports about him and believe them and begin to act on them and speak, you will receive. So this woman, she heard and then she kept saying. So what I want you to do is to find a word about your situation. So if you're having some financial issues, some financial needs, some things like that, you know, Sister Sarah was sharing some scripture that would help you today. But so if you can't find those scriptures, go talk to her after the service. Get that scripture that she used about finance. And then start hearing that, reading it to yourself, meditating on it, and then start speaking it. That's mine's like that. So if you can't think of one, just write this one down. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke 6, 38. Okay, so this is what that one says. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your lap. That's sort of a paraphrase, but more or less that's what it says. Give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if somebody came to you and gave to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, would that meet your financial need? In other words, they had a bushel basket. The bushel basket had some dollars in it, or $100, or $10 bills, or any size bill. And they said, here's the basket, you can have it. And say, wait, just a minute. And then they put their foot in the basket and press it down. Say, oh, there's some room for more. Let's put some more in there. And then they put their foot in it again, and they stuffed it down, and they put some more in it. So that's pressed down, shaken together. Now they put their foot in it. It wouldn't go down anymore. I mean, it's just solid dollars. It's solid money. And they put some more in it. It just runs over. Okay, you say, well, that's crazy. You know, nobody's going to do that. Okay. You can believe it's crazy. What it says is that through the hands of men, finances will come back to you. I don't know, might be a raise. Could be a bonus. Could be a new job. Could be somebody walking up and putting some money in your hand. I don't know. I'm not God. He didn't tell me to tell you how it was going to come to you. He just told me that it would come when you believe him, when you trust him. So it's a scripture. You can believe that scripture. You can take it to the bank if Jesus said it. Because if he lied about that, he lied about some other stuff too. Think about that. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. I know somebody out there is going to say, Pastor, he just talks about the prosperity gospel. Okay.
Okay, I do.
It isn't all I talk about. I do talk about it, but that isn't all I talk about. A little while ago, I just told you to get saved. Amen. Jesus went to the cross for your sins. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. He redeemed you from poverty, lack, and sin, and sickness, and disease, and all of the other things too. Praise the Lord. So is that balanced now?
Thank you, Jesus.
All right. Okay, I probably talked long enough, so let's stand up. And we're going to pray. Because I should end this message. So the result for this woman was that her bleeding stopped, right? So her faith, it had fruit. I mean, the fruit was that she got her healing. It worked for her. So the point of the message is that if you'll do the things that this woman did, and you really believe in your heart, and you begin to speak with your mouth, what you believe in your heart, you'll begin to see those things come to pass for you. If you act upon your faith, she couldn't just sit at home and say, you know, the crowd is too big today, I can't get to Jesus. She made a decision that it didn't matter how big the crowd was, it didn't matter if it was raining, snowing, there was an earthquake, somebody's closed her street. She's going to get to Jesus. From hell or high water, she's going to get to Jesus. And she pressed through all of the difficulties to find him and get to him. So I don't know what you're believing for today, what you really need, you know, whether it's any of those things I talked about, finances or family or whatever. But I'd probably be pretty accurate that everybody in here and everybody watching probably has something that they need. Or if they don't have something they need, there's probably something they want really badly. Something they want to see really badly. You know, maybe it's not a life or death situation. But Jesus, the miracle worker, is in the house. He's here for you. He's ready to bless you. He's building hope on the inside of you. Jesus the healer is in the house. Jesus the financier is in the house. Jesus the counselor, the marriage counselor, the one who can really make it work is in the house today. Jesus, the friend that sticks closer than a brother, is here in the house today. And he's here for you. Just you. If all the rest of the people in here miss it, he's here for you. If all the people watching miss it, he's here for you.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
Asking for Jesus.
Yes, ma'am. He's here for you. Now that was really timely. Because before I walked in this room, I turned the volume down so it wouldn't do that.
Anything more to say?
Verse 34, let me repeat this. He said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust, your confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go in peace, be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease. So even after everything had happened, Jesus is reassuring her. She doesn't have to lose her healing. She doesn't have to worry about her finances anymore. She doesn't have to worry about her situation and circumstance anymore, because she got to him. And this morning, you're standing, reaching. Your faith is reaching out to touch the real Jesus, the healer, the deliverer, the savior, the sanctifier, the baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the only one who really can help you. Your faith is reaching out to touch. Yeah, we can't see him physically with our eyes, but he's here. And he's ready. And he's waiting. So already, since we've been here just this hour or so, he's already been doing some miracles. Maybe you just didn't discover that you got yours yet. But when I spoke about hope, somebody took a hold of that and said, that's mine. And if you'll check your circumstance, you'll find out you got it. Because your faith took a hold of that hope and transformed it into reality. It happened. It happened while you were just sitting here listening. It happened for you out there in internet land while you were just listening. It happened for you who were listening by podcasts. It just happened for you. Check yourself. Check your situation. Look for it. Believe for it. Reach for it. Because it's there. It belongs to you. Jesus, the healer's in the house.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.